Sally, let me ask you this first of all. What is your definition, seeing that you were in the family for so long? What is your definition of ESP?
Well, ESP is simply the acquisition of information about the world around us, or perhaps the world in the future, which we don't acquire by any of our known senses or by just reasoning or inference. Some new information.
Is it include remote viewing, or is that in a separate category all by itself?
No, remote viewing is one of the three types of ESP. The old word for it was clairvoyance, which meant clear seeing. But nowadays, it's pretty much usually called remote viewing. And in that case, the information seems to be from an event or a situation which may not require any other person's being present. It's not telepathy. It's clairvoyance is a distinction in that case.
Did your father, Dr. J.B. Ryan, ever come home and say to you or the family, we people in America, we're just not as good with this gift, with this power, as people in other countries, people maybe in Asia that might have practiced it and their families had practiced it for thousands of years? Did he ever explain how we were in relation to some of these other places?
Well, I think we all have speculated as to why other cultures seem to report much, much more of this. It's only in the Western world, I would include Europe in that, that it seems to be such a big surprise, like we're studying something most unusual. Mike, of course, has a background in the Far East and saw this up hand close by, this sort of experience.
Mike, did they use it more than we did or still do?
You know, George, I don't know if they use it more. They certainly accept it more as a natural thing. When I was in Peace Corps in Thailand, that's actually where I sort of got this first strong interest in the paranormal, besides the fact that I had majored in philosophy in college, which is sort of a useless degree. Fortunately, I got into journalism. But I think in Asia, as in most non-Western cultures, they accept it, and so they tend to manifest it more often and in more ways, certainly, than I saw in the U.S.
Those of us who have all our senses, and some who do not, magnify other senses, but generally we can see, we can smell, we can hear, we can taste, we can touch. Is ESP, in your opinion, Michael, is it a normal process of the human being that we just never developed because we couldn't get a grasp of it, we couldn't see it, therefore we didn't understand it?
Well, I think there's actually two answers there. In fact, many Americans, obviously 65 million, have had an experience. But I do think that, and the other thing I'd like to mention is that, in fact, this is a natural human ability, and the reason we know is that there, and we can talk about it later if you want.
And by the way, I think that 65 million is low. I think it's much higher. There are probably some people that still won't admit it, or they may not know they have this ability. So it could be even twice as high.
Well, clearly, that's certainly a possibility. And as you know, a double that amount actually believe in it. 130 mm-hmm. million Americans believe. In fact, it's interesting when people walk around, the skeptics will walk around and say, nobody believes in this stuff. And it really, I always laugh when I hear that, because if they would look at the data, the Gallup poll in 2001 found that people who believed in ESP were 50% of the population, and 27% of the population doesn't believe in it, and the rest were undecided. So in fact, believers outnumber disbelievers by 2-1. So this is sort of a false argument when skeptics walk around saying, you must be weird because you're one of those few people that believe. In fact, they're the minority.
Indeed. Now, getting back to our ability to accept this as just a normal sense of our system, again, I believe that because people can't feel it, see it, they just don't think of it as one of their functions, but it probably is.
Clearly, in the book we mention the fact we advance the argument that ESP is a universal human ability. Whether you accept it or not, it's there, and it's there in many cultures and in many ways. And across time, there are three major collections of ESP, and Sally could probably talk a little bit more, but there's three major collections of ESP that were done in the last, 110 years. And you can look at cases in from England in the 1880s and look at cases in the United States, and they're almost the exact. I mean, they sound like they're the same story, just retold slightly differently. Mm-hmm. So clearly this is a universal human ability that we all have. Whether we'll accept it, I think a lot of times if we would accept it, we'd probably experience it.
And what does Michael mean by three major collections of ESP, Sally?
Well, he's referring to the Society for Psychical Research that started with scholars of very great prominence and ability studying in the early, late 1800s in England. And then a study in Germany was done after the one in Durham began, and there were independent studies done in that culture, and then the one in our country began in 1948, our collection of these reports. Now, I'm talking about a formal collection where you actually seek out these experiences and ask people to write them and mail them in to you, and then you study them, and thousands of them in our study now, so that we can really make some guesses about the occurrence of the forms and the types of ESP that occurred. We'll probably go into that a little bit more. And across these three different studies, independently done, it's an amazing similarity, as Mike suggested.